Okay, Ruchem Abba, and welcome everybody. So we have here source sheets, we have Mar Mekomos, because in a context like this, when we're getting together B'dibuk Chaverim for a spiritual retreat, I don't really feel like I'm a Bar Hochi to say anything, as if I were ever a Bar Hochi to say anything about anything, certainly not for a Chabura like this. So what I wanted to do is share with you several Dvarim Shebichsav, several things that we find here that are written, and hopefully have that for the basis of a discussion about our own growth. I'll just light up here. So we begin on page one in the first source, which is the first of two passages from Rav Kook. Rav Amram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, an exceptional spiritual light of our generation, of our century. Rav Kook has, in the Oros HaKodesh, a really interesting description of different kinds of people. Yeshnam Anoshim. There are people, Asher Oso Elokim Osom Yashar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them straight. Shetchunosom Shokta. Their quality is they are calm, placid, quiet. Vadracha Yeshar Vamnucha Pnimis Ugorolam Hakavu Alahem. And their destiny, their fate, is inner equanimity. They're good. Amnam im yisyagu b'toru b'musar v'chachma yalu milos gedolos. If they learn and they develop and they grow, they'll grow. They'll go up. Avol b'chol ofen hinam anshe yosher tov v'agunim. But l'maisa, they're good people. They're set. And therefore, gorolam she'leilu hu lios asukim b'ktzos ha'maisim b'folu b'chachma samaisis. Rav Kook suggests that they have a particular path. That's what he talks about for that purpose. Go down a few lines. Avol sug sheni. But there's another group of people. Sug sheni. Nimtza she'ein bahem menucha. That they don't have equanimity. They don't have rest. Om dim heim tamid b'shikul. They're always struggling. Lios olam ad lurma shamayim. We could feel like we're at the top. But also, ogam loredes l'mam makitom, to feel like we're at the bottom. Eilat srichim lehim l'sakinis ishiusam aruchonis mide yom biyomo. Such people need to work constantly, daily. Eilat kishiyasagu l'atzmas osa haderach shim srichim lo yalu maila maila. If they continue to improve slightly, one step at a time, one stage at a time, they'll grow. Avalim Yazvosa, but if they abandon their quest, their journey, Alulam Him Loretis Mata Mala, Mata Mata, they could go down. And Rav Kook has guidance for them. So there are two kinds of people. And maybe Rav Moshe Weinberger, my Rebbe Rav Moshe Weinberger, would say these are the difference between what he would call the sun people and the moon people. Rav Kook says there are people who shine like the sun. They are, in some regard, their holiness is static. They're good. They don't struggle with ups and downs. They're solid. The Shemesh is fixed every day, at least, you know, for some, in some places. But then the other group of people Rav Kook describes, and maybe some of us who are at this table, Mevakshe Hashem, we are what Rav Weinberger would call moon people. And we oscillate. And Rav Kook describes that we have periods when we feel like we're mamish at the top, and then times when we feel like we're rock bottom. And when I read this piece from Rav Kook, this description, I don't know if he was talking to anybody else, but I thought he was talking to me. And one of the great things is because even though Rav Kook's writings are beyond vast, and some of them are very difficult, there are several collections that are helpful that sometimes you can... So this is one of these small collections. It's called Nivios, where they take some of Rav Kook's pieces. This is where this comes from. And they parse them out into thematic sections. I came across this piece. I'm like, he's talking about me. And I suspect that many of us at this table, it's the reason we're here. because we're not sun people. We're not just at the same, we feel these struggles. And so how do we relate to being those kinds of people where we have these highs and we have these lows and challenges? What are we meant to experience for the Ribbono Shel Olam to give us this type of life? And Rav Kook is not saying we're ever going to change. We're those kind of people, for those of us who fit in that description. So in the Shemot HaKvatzim, Rav Kook wrote a very personal diary. So at the bottom he says, listen to this. He says, first of all, embrace it. Aimless spoil. You should not be shocked, be thrown for a loop. A person who's a moon person isn't constantly like the sun, that they're not drawn to other things. Right? The moon person, when their moon wanes, there are all kinds of things that are attracting them, that are interesting us, that we're paying attention to, that are in our orbit. And Rav Kook says, you know what? You shouldn't be nispol from that. You shouldn't be shocked, and you shouldn't be thrown. Ulahachlin, and to decide b'shvilkach she'ein holam lo kol ofoil yonachol shalchachmas kodesh, and to say, you know what? Because I was drawn to that inyan, because I was drawn after that thing, you know what? Obviously, I'm not a vessel for holiness, because you know I was, what I did, what I saw, or what I was interested in. Rav Kook says, don't let that throw you. Ha'odom tom nosun tomid b'svach shel chaim gufanim. A person is always in this thicket of a physical world. And especially people who are the sug sheni that he talks about, we're always dealing with that. Chachmas elokim mekadesh eses chai v'gam megadel es osam. Within us there is this chachmas ha'chaim, this wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that raises us up, that nurtures us, that guides us. Soarim believe lefaimim dimyonos unetios bilti ritsuyos. Sometimes we have these thoughts or drives or interests. Sheim omdi muchanim lizbatam abnei hadar Hashem. That ultimately they're waiting to be overshadowed by the sunshine of the Ribbono Shel Olam hamiskala b'nasham b'hadras kodesh. So I think the first thing Rav Kook is telling us is to recognize that that's part of life. To accept it, to understand that when we go through life, it's a svach. And so we're sometimes pulled in different directions. That's number one. Number two, when I was younger in Keren Biavne, even though my Ivrit was largely non-existent, I had a shtickel Azaz Tikdusha, so I went over to the Rosh Yeshiva and I asked him for a chavrusa. Now, to the extent that I had very little Hebrew, he had even less English. So it was an interesting, like, shidduch situation. But, you know, without busha, you do a lot of crazy things. So, embarrassment or inhibition. So, he suggests that we learn Alei Shur. And this piece that he's going to teach us, the Heiliger of Shlomo Volbi and the Alei Shur, which he's going to quote from 800 years before him, is something that has stuck with me. And I still need to hold on to, like a dafshel sfina in a yam hasoer. The Hilaga Rav Volbi, he tells us that the Rabbeinu Tam, no one less than the Rabbeinu Tam, the great Tosafist, the great revolutionary Talmudic giant, says that every person goes through different periods in life. The svach contains times of great elevation, when we feel inspired, when we're on fire, and times of distance, when we feel like we're broken, we're far, we're failing. That's what at least we tell ourselves. What the Rabbeinu Tam refers to as Yemei Ava and Yemei Sina and Yiyush. Rabbeinu Tam's great chiddush, and again, for people who are sun people, this is not a big chiddush and it's not a big deal. But for people like us, at least speaking for myself, who are moon people, who go through highs and lows, peaks and valleys, when a person is at the bottom, a person could feel, Rachman Litzlan, a terrible fear of Yiyush. Rabbeinu Tam says, guess what? Don't be surprised that life has peaks and valleys. You should anticipate that Meirosh. And not only that, to think that you can avoid the valleys, to think that you're not going to have those, is a flaw in your anticipation. You know they are built into life. Maybe even the Rabbeinu Tam thinks that even the sun people have epis, a shtickle, maybe when it goes behind the clouds. Even they have. Rabbeinu Tam says we should know that when we start something, when we're excited about it, when we begin, im yilo b'maisa hu shum hanav, just because we're limited for time, go to the paragraph that's indented where he's quoting from the Sefer Yashar. Second line, tikoni spo hataiva. We become passionate about it, excited, lit up. Kichen kol maisa sheish bo shum hanav. If we enjoy it, we get excited. And then what happens? Va'achar came, third line, toser v'tikonis b'libo hasina. Then we become resentful. Hasina, that's a very strong word that Rabbeinu Tam is using. Again, I'm not saying anything tonight. All I'm reading is what Mashikatuf, my Rebbe Rav Stav would say, Ani rak korei Mashikatuf. I'm just reading what it says. Is it surprising, says Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, that the Jewish people did the Egel Azov? He says it's not surprising at all. Because if you hand them a whole book of mitzvos, they're first going to be very excited. They'll say Nasa V'Nishma. And then 10 minutes later, they're going to say, you know, we don't want this anymore. He wasn't even surprised, Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan says. Of course we're going to do the Cheta Egel. Because after excitement comes the shtickle like, wait, what exactly? No. He says it's like an adolescent. Of course we're going to do the Cheta Egel, says Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan. There's Yimei Ava, and then there's Yimei Sina. And that's natural, and it's normal. So says Rav Volbe, we look to this Rabbeinu Tam, tremendous chizuk. Because then when we're in that dip, we can still hold on. We can realize that after that dip is going to come Yimei Ava. I wonder, I mean, Rav Joey probably could talk about this, but I know at least one or two people in my general orbit who lo aleinu, they ended their life. They ended their own life. An extended orbit of people who I know. And I don't know anything about mental health or anything, but I wonder if a person, they were so at the bottom of their life, the bottom, the nadir mamash at the bottom, must be they couldn't have seen that there was going to be any Yimei Ahava left. If a person gets that far down, that level of yish, rachmona litzlan, lo aleinu v'lal kol Yisrael, a person should never know such a thing. So Rav Volbe says, even if a person gets to the way bottom, they shouldn't have yish, because they should know that it's cyclical, that life goes up and it goes down, and that's okay if we get to the bottom. And what's the goal? Rabbeinu Tam, Rav Volbe points out, Rabbeinu Tam says, guess what? The goal is not to eliminate the days where you feel burnt out. It's rather to elongate the days that you feel lit up and to minimize, to the extent possible, the days that you feel down. It's the exact same nekuda that Rav Kook says. Nekuda number one is to recognize that it's a cycle, that it's going to happen. Anticipate it, so you stay along for the ride. And the big takeaway from Rav Volbe is to make sure that you hold on. Take a look at the third to last line at the end. Va'al kein, therefore, sarach hamaskil, a person who is attentive. Biroso ki tikoni sasina belibo, when you start to feel depressed or down or distant, when you feel that creeping in, that feeling, v'yakutz b'avoda, and you resent, strong language, that avoda, the key is, says Rabbeinu Tam, l'bal yaniach kol amaisa. Don't give it all up. You used to daven mamish shmon esrei that was really inspired, and it was 10 minutes, and you were tapped in, and now you're feeling totally burnt out. So the key is, Rabbeinu Tam says, just daven a shmon esrei, 45-second shmon esrei. The key is, don't leave it all. You're at the bottom, just hold on to something. Leval yaniach kol amaisa. Va'al yomar, don't say aniach hakol ata, I'm going to just abandon everything and then I'll come back. Because if you abandon everything at the bottom, God forbid, maybe you'll never come back. So the first eitzah, says Rav Kook, says the Heiliger of Shlomo Volbe, is number one, to realize and anticipate that that's normal, that we have highs and lows. Number two, says Rav Volbe, and this is what he develops later, is the hischazkus, to realize that just taking a little bit will carry us along. Just a little bit. Don't leave the whole thing. It's true, you're not in the mood to daven mincha, you're not going to be inspired, but just daven a 45-second mincha, a two-minute mincha. So you keep the consistency. That's the second element. Because you never know, happens to be that that mincha, even though you thought it was a bad mincha, it has many values. According to the Rabbi Nutam, it keeps you connected, that you'll be able to hold on for tomorrow. But there's even maybe a deeper level. The Heliger of Melech, for those of you who are not familiar yet, there's a great light of our generation, Reb Melech Biederman, Shalita. Mamish, we need, there's a lot that goes with Reb Melech. So Reb Melech once told a mice, amazing mice, exactly this Nakuda. He told a story years ago, 50, 60 years ago. There were two brothers, they were musicians. And they were composers and also Bali Menagnim, they were singers, and they also played instruments. And one day, unfortunately, there was, you know, in Israel, outside the apartments, in many of them, at least the old buildings where my grandmother, La Shalom, used to live, there were balonim. There's like gas, like the, I don't think they still have that today. You'll have to tell us. So they still have balonim outside the apartments. And Nebuch, outside the apartment, these two brothers were standing in the hallway, and there was a gas, a balloon explosion. And from the force of the explosion, these two brothers became deaf. They lost their hearing from the impact of the explosion. And after they recovered slightly, they realized they couldn't hear anymore. And how are they going to make music? So one brother says, you know what, Taka, I can't hear, so I'm not going to enjoy this music at all. It doesn't work. So Melech said he went to become a nadlan, he went into real estate, which is very good, nothing taken away from real estate, but he's not in music anymore. But the other brother, he said, you know, even though I can't hear the music, but I could still compose, because I can imagine the music in my head, and I can still make nugunim for other people. So he continued to compose. 10 years later, the Rebbeinu Shlomo introduces to the world a scientific advancement called a hearing aid. A hearing aid. And what happens? The brother who kept composing for 10 years goes to the store, they fit him for a hearing aid, and all of a sudden, his world opens up and he can hear. And he can hear 10 years worth of nigunim that he was mahana other people, now he can enjoy that too. Sir Melech said, sometimes you feel like you're totally fried and your mincha is not a mincha and it's yemei sinna. But Melech says, you know, you never know, because in 10 years you might get a hearing, you might get a ha'ara from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you'll look back and you'll find out that that mincha was mamish, the most amazing mincha. So you never know. It says, kedai to stick with it, A, because it keeps you connected, and B, because you never know the beauty of that mincha. There's another level, maybe a third level, that we could think about. It comes from this volume. I made it a little personal journey to do one piece a day. It's a very thick volume, and it's very barichas, but it's an introduction to the world of Chassidus. I don't know if people read it, but like, but for people who are like, Tanim like me, who don't really understand like the big musagim, and you need like the little steps one at a time, it's a tremendous, beautiful work. It's called The Religious Thought of Hasidism, from a man who was himself a very devout Hasid on the inside. His name is Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rabbi Lamb became not just as a Hasid in his youth, but also became very interested in Hasidus because his doctorate was in the works of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. So he wrote a masterpiece where he takes themes of Chassidus and introduces them to us, regular people, in English. The whole book is in English. So he quotes from the Degel, the Heilige Degel Machne Ephraim, the grandson of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, where he says the following. So the first piece, Rabbi Lam only gives you selections. So the first piece is in the English, and then the rest of the Degel is a little piece in the Hebrew. It's in a section called Katnus and Godless. This is the secret of smallness and greatness. Now, one way, there are many ways to translate godless and katnus. Katnus literally means smallness. for our purposes, we could say that smallness means when you're uninspired, you may sinna. And godless is when you feel like mamish, like this. The sun is shining. We're a bunch of Jews on a Sunday afternoon in July, just shutting off everything else to be involved in ruchnius. Like, this is godless. This is inspired. That's one way to define katnus and godless. Reb Joey could probably give us many, many more. But for now, can we suffice with that? That's okay? That's okay for now. Says the Halakha Degel Machne Ephraim, this is the secret of smallness and greatness. It is well known what is said in the name of my master and grandfather, the Baal Shem HaKadosh, may the memory of the righteous be for a blessing, and the living creatures ran and returned. A pasuk in Yechezkel, which is what we're talking about, this experience of being Ratzov Veshov, of moving in, leaning in, feeling like we're connected and attached, and Shov, and feeling like we're disconnected, we're not inspired. It is impossible to remain at the same level perpetually. Rather, one must either go up or down. And here is the added line. Until now we said we should anticipate it, we should hold on, but now we're saying something else. The descent is for the purpose of ascent. Provided one realizes that he is in a state of smallness and prays to the Lord that he rise to greatness. Ubikashtem misham. Says the Degel in the next piece that Rabbi Lamb doesn't have, it's in the Hebrew, this is what it means that Yaakov Avinu was witnessing a Sula Mutzav Arza Verosho Megia Shomaima. That he was witnessing a ladder and they're going up and they're going down, up and down. He sees a Yerida Vahayerida Hulitzorech Aliyah. That somehow that time when we're feeling burnt out and distant is actually an opportunity for growth. How is it an opportunity for growth? Rav Kook talks about this at length in several pieces collected in this volume in the Nevi'ot, about how pursuant to a period of down, there's a pursuit. How does that, I don't understand, what does that mean? So the Halakha, Rebbe Elimelech, Rebbe Noachim Elimelech explains, look in the next piece of Parashas Vayeshev, ki al yedei zeshu mischazik umezariz atzmo yoser ba'avodas yisbarach shemo, through the fact that a person recognizes that they're feeling distant, and then they say, ah, you know, I wish I were inspired right now, or I'm feeling inspired, and therefore I need to work on myself, I need to grow, that is a vehicle of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Aliyah, which is the product of the Yerida. I think that's what the Degel and the Rebbe Remelech are trying to tell us. That when we're feeling inspired and broken and down, and we say, oh, God, this is terrible. This is terrible. And we feel so bad about ourselves. We should realize that if we accept that and realize that, that that's actually an opportunity, a door that opens to say, ah, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, I'm far away from you. I would like to be back. I want to come back. I got to figure something out. That itself is an aliyah. I think that's what they're trying to tell us. That instead of being discouraged, which we so often are, we should actually realize that that is an invitation. It's an invitation for us to validate the fact that we're in this place of katnus, of smallness. And so we need to then ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, say, hey, please help me out of this. I'm feeling like I'm in a place where I don't belong. That itself is Avodas Hashem. And maybe this brings us to one more perspective. The first perspective was Hakara, of recognition that Rav Kook talked about. The second was Hischazkus, of holding on when we're in that place at the bottom, like the Rabbi Nutam, like Rav Volbi. The third is what this recognition that the Yerida is also an opportunity for Aliyah from whatever that place is, provided, by the way, and this is something that Rav Joey was alluding to before, and the Megala Amukos, which I didn't put on the page, emphasizes this, that we realize that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us in every stage. Rabbi Nachman talks about this. I don't know anything about the Rebbes or the Tzaddikim or the teachings. I just know a few crumbs, but the few crumbs that I've seen, and it could be confirmed here by an expert. Is this, so far we're saying okay? So far, it's okay? So far, we're okay. That I think Rabbi Nachman also says, Gam b'makom the hastara, even when the person is down, the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. So then, what the rabbis are telling us is that it's actually an opportunity for an aliyah, because then we converse with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we have this conversation, b'makom the katnas, in the place of smallness. And that's several of the pieces that Dr. Lamb here has in the Sefer, of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he quotes in the Baal Shem HaKadosh, from that place of smallness. So actually, the smallness is an opportunity for a connection. It's almost like the Gemara has this very interesting suggestion that a person who does tshuva me'ava, it's a schus for them. A person who returns to God out of love, out of appreciation and wanting, it's almost better that they did that error in the first place. Now, we don't want to volunteer to make that mistake in the first place, right? We'd rather not do that. But for the Bali tshuva, for the moon people, for the people who have the aliyah and yurita, the ratzo v'shov, when we're at the bottom, and I'm speaking to myself, it's like the Bali Musar, I love to say they're speaking to myself, but I'm actually speaking to myself, is that when I feel like I'm at the bottom, I need to remind myself that when I'm at the bottom, the Ribbono Shel Olam is right there, and I need to say to him, you know, I'm at the bottom. Can you help me get to the top? Or I'm sorry I'm at the bottom, or I'm glad you're with me at the bottom, because otherwise I would mamash be bereft. Isn't that a great aliyah? Maybe that's the tshuva me'ava that Chazal are talking about. But maybe there's one more level, and this comes from Rav Kook's diary. This section from the diary is quoted in a sefer called Pistei Ariyah. There are several svarim, also very great accessible svarim for Hamon Am, for us regular people. You don't have to read Oros HaKodesh and not know what the Nazir was collecting in that to understand Rav Kook. Rav Moshe Tzvi Neria, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he brought a lot of Rav Kook's teachings down into, you know, regular bite-sized things that people can understand in several svarim. So one of them is called Moadei Ariyah. It's about the Yomim Tovim. Another one is Bistei Ariyah. This is where he collects a bunch of pieces from Rav Kook's diary. And Rav Kook writes this piece. And this I found, this mamish spoke to me. I found it initially, but I had to get it in the original so you wouldn't think that I'm just making it up from somewhere. This is a magnificent collection of very personal diary entries of Rav Kook that somebody was malakit from different places, called Chadarav.
So you should read if you want to feel your Shabbat.
If you want to tap into, it's amazing, so beautiful. Some of it, you almost feel awkward reading it because you're like, Rav Kook is opening his soul up and you're like, I'm not sure that I should be privy to what he's saying over here. But it's here, so it's amazing, beautiful. It's not such difficult Hebrew, and it's spectacularly inspiring. It's called Chadarav, Prakim Ishiim. It was published a couple of years ago. Likate for Arach Ran Sharid. It's published by Dabri Shir, which is, by the way, one of the most awesome addresses. If you go to Israel, especially, I had the opportunity to go a few months ago unsupervised. I went by myself, so my wife didn't see. It's amazing. This past trip, Baruch Hashem, we went with our family, but when I go unsupervised, Dabri Shir, it's a big place. You have to go to this place. They have amazing, amazing svarim there. So they publish. What's that?
They ship tomorrow.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dangerous. So Dabri, you get this safer, and you're reading like Rav Kook is opening his heart to us. And this piece, I think, is the last piece that gives us a lot of chizuk also. He says, Mitochi, from my inside, from my essence, mitoch mayonai, from my well, hinini tzorich lakachas, I have to take ha'ot soros haknuzim. You know where I'm going to find myself, my strength? From my inner voice, says Rav Kook. I don't need to get chizuk from the outside. I need to get it from the inside. I need to look deep within myself. But listen to what he writes. Tamid ani kashur, I'm always feeling, I'm always connected, ba'oso hatsa'ar, with that pain. What pain is he talking about? It's the pain of a person who's a ratzo v'shov, of feeling like we're not good enough, like we're not doing enough, that we haven't learned enough, that we haven't gone deep enough, that we're distracted, all these things, because we want to do better. What does Rav Kook call it? Hatsar hakadosh, the holy pain. Shel drishas hashlemus ha'elyona, from seeking the highest fullness. Vizu eina mismales, But it never happens. We're never actually going to reach that ultimate shleimus. Says Rav Kook, ve'eino tzricha lehismalos. It's not meant. There is no destination that we are meant to arrive at. Kizos hi tunas ho'arigo hanitzchis. This is the quality of the perpetual eternal longing. She yisoda, that its foundation, hu hatzimaon ha'eloki. It is the divine thirst. Asher kol dover acher sheba olam lo yarve oso. There's nothing else that's going to fill and quench that thirst. It's always there, our thirsting to do better, to be more, to be our best selves. Ki im hamavukash levado, hatzimaon levado. You know what quenches the thirst? The thirst. Hatzimon levado, sheyichosef tomid yoser v'yoser. We should become more and more aware of the thirst. V'yukar tomid yoser v'yoser. And that somehow, hu ba'atzmo, it itself, mishapech, it becomes transformed, l'makor kol oneg, to a source of joy. L'machon kol ha'adonim haruchonim l'ziv shakai. To the splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the place of all the spiritual places. Why? Because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, to be seeking. To be on that journey. To be thirsty for more. That, to be thirsty? What was there, a commercial once? Stay thirsty, my friends, right? There was a commercial for beer. Stay thirsty, my friends.
Interesting man in the world.
Right? Rav Kook is saying, stay thirsty, my friends. The fact that you're thirsty is a simen tov, not a simen ra. It's a simen that we're alive, the fact that we have aliyahs and yuridas. And we should look at those, and I'm speaking to myself, but, you know, anybody wants to listen, but I need to tell myself, when I'm feeling like, I'm still searching and I'm not arriving, Rav Kook says, no, we have arrived because we're still searching. The minute we stop searching, ach and vey, oy vey, Rav Kook says, no, the searching, that's the ariga, which is the makor kol ha'oneg. So if we say to ourselves, as people who have these aliyahs and yuridas that Rav Kook talked about at the beginning, how do we manage all of these ups and downs? So maybe these are four mahalchim. Number one, we don't get too upset about it because we anticipate it. We know that that's part of life. Number two, we are mischazek at the low points to hold on to just a little bit. Just a little bit, Rabbi Nutan, Beilag, Rabobi, they say, just hold on to a little something and keep it going. Be mischazek in those times of smallness. It'll carry us forward. And you never know, Reb Melech says, maybe that's the most beautiful song, that 2-minute mincha, that time when we learned the little piece once a day when we were, you know, that maybe that's a beautiful song, to hold on. Number three, to realize that somehow, in some way, this Yerida, this challenge, is actually an opportunity for an aliyah. It's maybe an aliyah. It's an opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a new way, in a deeper way, from that place. Meirachok, from far near Eli. And the last one is to realize that this is really the goal. The goal is to be on that journey. That journey of being tzameh, of trying, of wishing we were better. The minute we wish, we're already at the goal. And noch besser, as the Heilige Pia Setzner, Shem Yikom Dom Eschus Yigalinu, would say, it's not just wishing, it's wanting. It's trying. It's trying. When we're trying, we're already succeeding. And so to be mechazik each other, what amazing schus it is to come together, mevakshe Hashem, to realize that Rav Kook is giving us the greatest sweetness, that just by being here, just by being mevakish, we've already arrived at the makor ha'oneg, at the great source of joy.